Morning, Journey. How are we doing? All right, you guys are awake. That'll work. That's good. Everybody looks a little more tanner than usual. All right, summer's here. Hey, well, my name's Logan. I'm one of the pastors here. It's great to meet you. I have a quick question. Is anybody this is for like anybody 18 or younger. Do we have any mischievous children out there? Anybody would say, I'm a little bit, yeah, I see a couple hands. How about some adults? I see some adult hands. That's okay. Like, yeah. Anybody tried to get away with some stuff when they were a kid? Anybody like that? Okay, yeah. So I did too. I was a kid like you. Like that's how it works, you know. You're a child at some point. I don't know. Some of you guys probably think you're pretty smart, like mom didn't see it kind of thing. You know, like mom to this day still doesn't know that lamp I broke, that kind of thing. But during a season of my life as a kid, there was a couple year span where I actually found myself living, my mom was a single parent, and it was my mom, my recently college graduated aunt, and my grandma under one house. So let me tell you, I didn't get away with much, you know? Like, I might be sneaky and get past one of them, but it would be like grandma would just know. She'd just look at you, and she'd be like, I saw that. And I'd be like, okay, I'll go talk to mom. You know what I mean? There was no way I was getting anything past those three women, you know? And they were like a unified attack to make sure I was not going to be a hooligan or something. You know what I mean? Like, they took care of me. And, man, they held me to a high standard, and I'm grateful for that season. It was a shorter season, but I'm grateful for that those years and with those three strong women who love the Lord. But man, like even to this day, it's probably why when I say yes, ma'am, it's probably because I was saying yes, ma'am to those ladies a lot. You know, like I was, and they would tell me things like, "When you're going to be a husband someday, you're going to be a father someday, and you're going to thank us for this." You know, and I'd be like, "Okay, yes, ma'am." You know, and so that's probably a part of who I am. But I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for those years. Because that formed me, being held to that high standard, and I got corrected a lot. There was a lot of correction in that space. But Journey, I have a question for you. Do you run from correction? Like you personally, like we're not talking about breaking lamps anymore, but the things when you get caught, when the things in your life, when say you have those uh-oh moments in life and you go, do you run from correction? Or do you get defensive or justify it, or rationalize it away? Like when you get caught red-handed, like, man, I didn't meet the mark. Or maybe another question, maybe where do you run when from correction? Like where do you go when you're corrected? Are you one that like tries to deflect it or negate it or blame? Maybe you run to some old habit or some kind of substance or something to affirm you in some way. Because see, correction, if you know, it's not just for children, it's just reality, right? Like all of us at some point, sometime we miss the mark and to be corrected. And it's today the big thing we've been talking about relationships and how do we, specifically friendships, how do we have deep friendships? We've talked about loneliness epidemic. We've talked about our God's heart for us to be deeply connected with the people around us in our spaces in proximity with us. Pastor Jim shared last week about transparency, how we're supposed to start to live in authentic community, being open with each other. And we kind of come to this hard topic of accountability and challenge. And that's a hard thing to talk about. Like when I say those words, everybody's like, uh-oh, I don't want to be here anymore. You know, like Pastor Logan's just going to yell at me all day and this isn't much fun. And I won't, I promise. But part of our friendships and part of our healthy relationships that God wants for us is relationships that we are accountable to one another. And that there might at times be challenged. So that's the topic that we're going to talk about today, but that's kind of taboo in our culture. Right? Like we don't like talking about those things. When I say like friendships that where we hold each other to a high standard, I think there's part of us that we kind of revert back to those kids that want to hide things from their parents, like me. And there's almost like two camps. You kind of see this extreme sometimes. Sometimes it's this camp where it's like the, you do you, man, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, like no one can tell me, no one can judge me, right? Like my truth is my truth. You know, like you know that camp, you probably heard that or experienced that, maybe you believe that. And that's like, okay, that's one way to engage this. Like, so no one can hold me accountable. No one judge me. No one, I want to do whatever I want to do. And there's this other camp that often can be like the morality police over here, right? Like the ones like they're out there looking online, like, I saw that. I saw what you did. Like, that's evil. Or like you become vindictive about people. And so there's part of us maybe that don't want any control or no one telling us to do anything. Like we hear words like submission and responsibility and accountability. And we just go, no, that's not for me. And this other one, we think that like, great, just give me a badge. I will be the sheriff of this town, right? We're like, I'm going to make sure everybody else is good, you know? And And I don't know if either of these is really helpful, is what I'm trying to put out. And I think that God lays out a better way for us today. So as we talk about friendships and the healthiness in these relationships, part of them should be some level of accountability and challenge. And so if you want to turn with, or here's my main point here as we get started. In the family of God, we have to be able to receive and give correction. If you hear nothing else I say today, that's what I want you to hear. In the family of God, we have to be able to receive and give correction. It's a necessary part of a healthy family. And we're going to see that in scripture today. So turn with me to Galatians 6, verse 1. It'll be on the screen. I'm going to go through a few verses. This isn't just my ideas. This is what God's word says. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. And I love this. If you have a Bible, you can underline this part. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Ephesians 4, 25 says this, therefore each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Matthew 18, 15 says this, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. And a verse you probably have heard too, Ephesians 5, 21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. These are just a drop in the bucket. These are just a couple of verses, but it seems these are verses about the early church and for believers and how we are to interact with one another. And you can't read those verses and go, man, that's a little bit challenging. That's a little bit intrusive. That might be uncomfortable for me. Like, I don't want someone to do that to me, and maybe I don't want to do that for somebody else, but that's how we're supposed to be as a family. And I use that language because it's the language that the Bible does, right? Brothers and sisters, this idea, if you are in this room or if you are online, if you are one who says, I have accepted Jesus as Savior, I've bent a knee, I'm here to follow Jesus the rest of my life, then what God has done is essentially brought us into his family. He's adopted us into the family of God. Through the blood of Jesus, he paid the price that you and I cannot pay for our sins, and he has brought us into his family. And if it's his family, guess what? He gets to dictate the rules a little bit, right? Like in my household where my parents told me what to do, it was their rules, their standards and friends. God has showed us the way to live and the way to speak, relate to others, to how we are supposed to live our lives, spend our time. And part of that is how we are to interact with one another. And part of that is challenge at point and accountability at times. And I don't know about your family. I don't know. I was the oldest in my family. So I'm like classic oldest brother, like the most annoying type A brother. Like that was me. Okay. Anybody else like that in the room? No, we don't want to admit it. Okay. There's a couple hands. Okay. That's good. So like I was like the worst older brother. Like, I mean, I told my siblings what to do all the time. And I'm kind of proud of this one, but my sister was a freshman when I was a senior in high school. So I thought I was like top dog. You know what I mean? Like I was loving life. I made the boy that she liked at the time, fail basketball tryouts. Cause I was like, this bum's got to go, you know? Like, and so I just like went to every drill and I was right behind him. Like, you're not very good, you know? And like, and then he'd be out there like, oh, and he'd dribble away. And then like, he got cut. And I was like, yes, you know? And my sister came home. She's like, you got him cut. I was like, it's not my fault. He can't dribble. You know what I mean? Like, but that was me. Like I was that brother. And so, unapologetically, at times still driving them nuts. But I bring that up because that's how I was with my siblings. And hopefully I've matured a little bit in that, but I don't just walk around telling them what to do or anything like that anymore. But brothers and sisters fight and they have to wrestle out, but we're family still, right? And friends, if we're going to have deep friendships and people who are going to walk with us in life, then you know what? We have to learn how to interact with one another. And we have to learn how part of that is keeping each other accountable, holding each other to a high standard, challenging at times. Challenging disbeliefs, encouraging one another. If we don't, then we're just acquaintances. We're not really a family. And God wants us to be part of his family, and it's his rules. It's his standards that we're living up to. And I talk so much about family because I want to ask this question. How did your family handle differences, challenge, and conflict? Because it's interesting because as we're being adopted into a new family, I still bring part of that old style of family with me, don't I? Right, all of us have different rules. Like, what are like family norms in our lives? Does anybody notice this? Like, saying yes, ma'am, or different things we do. And like, part of that is like how I deal with conflict, and also like holding each other accountable. Right? Like some of your families, you grew up and it was like really abrasive, like really in your face. Like, well, you never put the milk away, you know? And it's like, you get really combative with one another, right? And so you bring that into your relationships in the family of God, right? And you just think, oh, that's how you're supposed to deal with challenges. That's how you're, or some of you, I was talking to one guy this week and he goes, Logan, my family, like we never, like we just ignored things. Like we never acted like, if there was something awkward happening in a family, we're just like, woo-hoo, like just nope, don't see that. That didn't happen, right? And so then you might bring that into, if that was your family norm, you're gonna bring that into your family of God, aren't you? So when something awkward happens at small group or in a community group, all of a sudden you realize like, well, you know what? We're just gonna act like it's, we're just gonna act like it goes away, you know? Let's just not challenge that. Let's not talk about that. Let's not actually talk about the things I'm dealing with, because you know, my family, there was at times where they say, we don't talk about that. That's a family conversation. So we don't talk about that. And things are swept under the rug. And the reality is they need to be brought to light. And it's not just me who says this, but there's one of my favorite pastors. He says it this way. He says, Jesus may be in your heart, but grandpa's in your bones. Right? And that's from Pete Scazzaro. He was a pastor in a church in New York City, and big church, multi-generational church, multi-ethnic church, booming. Things are booming. He goes, man, what's crazy is that so many people are coming to church, but not a lot of people are changing. Like they're bickering, they're arguing, they're fighting. It doesn't really look like the church of the Bible, and why is that? And what he began to realize in his own life is that some of that family story, the way his family dealt with accountability and challenge, they brought that with them into their church, right? And so friends, we have to maybe redo how we do family. Can we maybe just bring that to the table today? Maybe what you have, how you've always dealt with challenge or maybe lack thereof, maybe God wants to highlight to that for us today, and maybe we learn a better way. That's an invitation for you today. We have to begin to look at our family and say, man, like, I love my family. Not that I'm saying like they did a poor job raising me, but the stuff that matches God's word, amen, and we're gonna keep it. But the stuff that maybe doesn't line up with God's word, then you know what? We might need to learn God's way, right? And that's what it means to follow Jesus, where sin enters in our life, because when God's way is going this way, and this is how you're supposed to live, how you're supposed to speak, how you're supposed to treat others, when I decide to go this way and do my own thing, that's sin. And it always leads to death, chaos, destruction. And so when we decide to go against God's way, it never really works out. And so I wanna invite you into that today, because our friendships, they're people. There's people who are gonna enter into those small groups, into your life, and they're people who, they're gonna bring that baggage with them, right? And so how do we do this? So as a pastor, I get this question a lot about, well, how do I change? Like, what do I need to do? Like, how does this really get practical? And so I see that we gotta do a couple refreshers here. So remember a few weeks ago, if you were here, I had a couple circles. Some of you guys are like, no. I'm like, it's because you slept in that week. That's why you don't remember. No. We're doing a couple of relationship circles. That's me in the middle. Remember we talked about on the outside is kind of like culture, like outside world. Then we have our acquaintances. Uh-oh. This board is so fancy, so nice. Acquaintances. Then we have our friends. And then this inner circle, what we all want is these deep relationships. These are like our core friends, right? We talked about how there's just a few of them. That's a catch up. So like there's these outside circles. There's culture, acquaintances, friends, and how we want to have these deep relationships. But how do we get there? How does God lie this out for us? And so if we want this, we all want relationships that challenge us and change us, right? We all want people that make us better. And how do we get those? Because that's not just easy. You don't just like have a water cooler conversation that happen. And what the scriptures lay out is that the main way in which we change is going to be through these relationships, through at times challenge, but also accountability. And so if we want change, this is what we want. We want to become better versions of ourselves. We want to follow Jesus more. I hear this all the time. Like, Logan, how do I I'm stuck. Like, how do I grow? Like, how do I follow Jesus more? And there's a path laid out through scripture. And I want to highlight that today. The first piece of this, how do we get there? If that's our goal, part of this is our awareness. This isn't like self-actualization or anything like that, but I want to read you a piece of scripture. It's Psalms 139, verse 23 through 24, one of my favorite passages. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." Isn't that a powerful passage? The psalmist writes that, and it's a pretty humble, can you hear the humility in that? Come before God and saying, God, look at every crevice of my life and what part of me does not line up to this. What part of me does not line up to what you say, God? Would you put a spotlight onto that area of my life? You know, what's interesting is that was one of the prayers that the church read for the first 1,000 years. Like, what would your life look like if you started praying that every day? Do you think God would start highlighting some stuff? You know how I know that to be true? Because I've begun that. That's a practice for me the last couple of years where someone in my life was like, Logan, you know that verse is in that Bible, right? like, hey, what do you do with that right there? And I'm like, ooh, yeah, I probably got some stuff in my life, right? Like, it's almost like the check engine light on your car that keeps blinking. And you're like, it's going to go away. It's actually just tire pressure. It's not that big a deal. You know, like that thing. And then you're like on the side of the road. And you're like, what happened to my car? Right? Friends, that is that invitation that God is inviting us into, right? Like, search me, oh God. What? Finding me any wicked way. Not like, well, God, if there might be, like, I don't know. But like, no, like, search me. Finding me, whatever's in me, God, that's not of you, I don't want it. That's a humble prayer. But friends, we need to begin to pray that and say, God, make me aware of the things that don't align with you. All right? Did you hear in the passage before in Galatians 6, it says, if anyone is caught in sin, that we're supposed to restore them gently, but you yourself watch because you could be tempted. So it's acknowledging, hey, there's something in you. There's probably some brokenness. There's probably some sin in your life. There might be some areas in your life that you are not flourishing. And God wants to look at that. I feel like a lot of times that's how God is. He gently pokes at me and just goes, hey, Logan, what's that right there? What's that thing? Hey, what about that time you were swerving in and out of traffic thinking that you were the most important person in the world, right? Let's talk about that for a second, right? Because that's what it is. Like, I'm rushing, like, oh, look at all these people in my way, and I'm getting angry. It's like, no, I think the world's about me, don't I? It's not about me. And God just kind of gently goes, what's that, Logan? Or maybe how I talk to somebody or how I treat them or whatever it might be for you. But awareness, God wants to highlight these things. Do we invite the Holy Spirit to search us, to know us, and to lead us to bring awareness of, man, God, I need you. And so this leads to our second area of importance here, and this is our vulnerability, because awareness will always lead to, if we allow it, vulnerability and weakness. Now, these are not very fun words. You're like, great, I'm feeling really inspired this morning. Thank you, right? Vulnerability and weakness, but I want to do a quick test. Everybody look around. Look to your left and your right. If you're over by the curtains, don't look at the curtain. That's weird. Okay, see a person beside them. Hopefully you like them enough, all right? All right, now, raise your hand if you did not commit any sins this week. If you did not do it, you were perfect this week. Go ahead, raise your hand. Didn't see many hands. Interesting. One, just two hands. I see. That's good. Okay. If you raise your hand, you may be lying right now. I'm just, not to call you out, but you might be lying. So guess what? You're in a room and online, if you can see, you're in a room full of people who are admittedly saying, hey, I'm broken. I got some stuff in my life that maybe isn't really lining up with exactly what God wants me to do, and the person God wants me to be. So maybe, just maybe, we can all start being honest with one another and say, you know what? I'm not doing so hot. There's a couple check engine lights on. You know what? And actually, there's this thing about weakness that we try to hide them, but it's like there was a commercial I saw on TV the other day where it's like this guy's bench pressing, but it's on his chest, and the guy's like, hey, can I help you? And he's like, no, bro, I'm good. He's like, no, man, like, you look at your help. He's like, no, man, you don't know me. You don't know my life. It's like, oh, okay. Like, he just kind of walks away, right? But that's kind of like what we do with our weakness and our vulnerability. Like, if we just deny it and act like, oh, it's not there. I don't need help. What you look like is the fool with the bench press on your chest, and it's like, You're going to get hurt, man. It's like my son right now, he's 11 months. He's about to be one. He's wild. Like, half the time we can't keep clothes on him. Like, seriously, it's like, well, no pants today. Cool. You know? And he's crawling like crazy, and you know, it's summertime. So there's definitely not like socks on that kid. And so he has like splinters all over him, you know? And as a loving father, like, I'm like, I need to take these splinters out. Right? But he doesn't want me to. And he's like alligator rolling. And he's like, you know, trying to fight me off. And I'm like, dude, I just want to help you. And friends, I wonder if if he would just like stand still and say, Dad, would you help me? And obviously he can't talk. But if he was able to be vulnerable at that level, he doesn't understand quite yet, obviously. But I wonder if we act like my son Forrest with God. And we're like, nope, I'm good. I don't need help. I'm fine. And we have these splinters in us that are causing us deep pain and agony. And they're infected. And they're not leading to life. And that's our sin in our lives. Jesus says it this way, Matthew 7, he says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? Jesus says it really boldly, you hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Because here's where the rubber meets the road with our vulnerability and weakness. Like, awareness always leads to vulnerability and weakness, and we need this accountability. And we look at it as like a bad thing. Like, we're like, oh, it's actually like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like, we don't like weakness. We don't like to admit that we need help. And it's easier for us to be like, well, what's brought you? Like, how dare they have same thing to me? Because you know what? Look at their life. But Jesus makes it really clear, like, what's that plank in yours? Like, don't worry about everybody else. There's something about you. Because I think we hear accountability and challenge, and you're like, yes, this is my sermon. I'm ready to be the sheriff for everybody else, right? Like, you're like, sign me up. My friends need me to hold them accountable, right? It's really easy to point out everything in everybody else's life. It takes a lot more humility to look at your own life and say, man, what is in me? Where am I at? What is not in accordance with God's word? What is that pattern, that sin habit in my life that I've had since I was a teenager that I never talked about? And I'm just gonna act like it's gonna go away like that splinter, but it's become infected and involved in every area of my life. And accountability is a good thing. We need to, and I hear this as a pastor all the time. I hear people go, you know what? Pastor, we gotta talk about sin more. We gotta get serious about sin. You need to preach harder about that. And I go, okay, that's great. I agree. Whose sin? Whose sin should we talk more about? Because friends, this room and this valley would look a lot different if we started taking our sin really seriously and stopped looking at everybody else's sin, right? Because this whole room just admitted they're broken. We all just admit that we have some work to do, but I can't change everything about you. But you know what I can do? I can start in my life and start saying, God, search my heart, know me, find in me any wicked way, anything that doesn't line up with you. And then as I become vulnerable and say, man, I got some splinters in my life, God, I start asking for some help. I start taking that plank out of my eye, and then I can walk in humility. And friends, we are just a group. The great thing about weakness is it puts us on an equal footing. We're all broken and forgiven, wrestling together to obey God. That's this room in here, right? We are all in the same boat. We are all walking this earth trying to follow Jesus faithfully, in need of grace daily. And so I need to start taking my sin seriously. Stop avoiding it. Stop acting like it's not there. And this is the beauty of confession, right? And this message is about friendship, but in a lot of ways, it's really about confession. Like, do you think that God doesn't know what's going on in your life? If we really believe the God of the Bible, who's supposed to be all-knowing, all-powerful, and all places, all time, like, it's not like I'd be like, Lord, so the other day, he's like, oh, really? I didn't know. Tell me more. You know, like, he knows. Like, it's like I'm trying to hide the thing from my parents who already saw, right? The thing that you think that you got past your parents, but they know. And God, he's a loving father. He knows what's already bothering us. He sees that splinter in our leg and he's going, I want to help you out, but you got to just stop wrestling so much. Stop wiggling around. Just say, man, I need help. That's where we are with our sin, guys. Confession leads to change. It leads to submission. It leads to this path of healing for us. My father-in-law used to say it this way about accountability. He says, you don't give accountability, you ask for it. I'll say that again. You don't give accountability, you ask for it. Friends, when we start becoming aware of our sin, our brokenness, and our relationships, and I'm able with some core people be able to be vulnerable, being held accountable, asking. It's not about being always being told to do what you're doing wrong, but actually being challenged to become who God wants you to be. That's really where I change. And it's, I don't want you to hear me today and go, great, I need to start holding everybody accountable. I need to do that for them. No, I hope that every person in this room, if you can hear me, wherever you're at, you begin to ask for accountability. That you would look in your life and say, man, I want to be held to God's standard, and I need some people to walk that road with me. And hopefully, by God's grace, you have some people already in that circle with you. But if you don't, I pray that there will be some people who are beginning to make their way kind of closer, right? Maybe you just have some acquaintances now. That's okay. But by God's grace, I pray that you'll have some deeper friends, some people in your small group, some people you work with, some people you hunt with, fish with, walk in the park with your kids, that you'll find people, that God will put people in your path, because I believe God cares about this. And you're in a room full of people who, by being here, you're saying, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to follow him. And so there's a room that we could actually start holding each other accountable by saying, man, I want to champion you on. I want to see you become all that you can be in Christ. There's this great passage in Acts 2 where we see the church in its fullest, right? And it says everybody's selling their stuff and everybody's diving into the word and people are being baptized. And it's a beautiful passage in early Acts 2. And you're like, man, I want that. And I want that too. But how do they get there? It says this in Acts 2:36. Read with me. It says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promises for you and your children, for all who are far off, from whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Can you imagine? Can you imagine seeing 3,000 people coming before the Lord? And friends, you see it, the same path is laid out here. Peter makes them aware of their sin. He says, you know, this Jesus that you crucified, he is both Lord and Messiah. I had a guy in college look at me and he says, Logan, a lot of people love Jesus as Savior. He said, but a lot of people don't know him as Lord. He said, but if he's Lord of your life, it'll mean something different. Because everybody's like, great, awesome. Jesus saved me? Great, awesome. Sign me up, right? But when you say Jesus is Lord, that means he actually gets to dictate my life a little bit. I follow his role and model in life. And that's what Peter's saying to them. He says, hey, this Jesus that you crucified, it's actually, he is the one that can save your sins. And he is the Lord of all lords. And it says they're convicted by it, right? So they start to feel weaknesses. They say, well, man, they were cut to the heart, it says. And he says, what should we do? And Peter leads them and you see this great change happen. And friends, that's the same for us. Maybe not in the multitudes, but in small gatherings of a couple people. When we gather together, when we become vulnerable and we invite people to hold us accountable, we change. I've heard a lot of sermons in my life. I've heard a lot of podcasts. I've sang along worship songs. The most change in my life has happened when I got really vulnerable and asked for accountability. When I got really raw with a couple people and said, man, this is what's really going on in my life. Or man, I have a hard time believing. Or man, I have my doubts. I have my fears. Like, is this even real? And those times when I was really open with people, that's where God shows up. When I confess, like that's how I change. That's the most change. It's not been just goosebumps in a song. God can use anything, but it's been people primarily. But this is our great enemy, guys. What enters into these spaces is pride. Because we start challenging it. We start to say, well, I'm not as bad off. Or no, I'm okay. I'm okay. You know what? That I can stop whenever I want to, right? You ever heard that one? And you know what? I sit with a lot of people and this teens in this room. You know, I talk about this a lot, but I sit with a lot of adults who are dealing with pornography that they never dealt with when they were 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. And now they're 45 years old. Now their marriage is falling apart. And they're like, man, I don't even know because I've never talked about it. Or maybe that addiction that you have to something, whatever it might be for you. And we see this all the time. The things that we just say, oh, it'll get better over time. It's not really that bad. But it leads to destruction because I'm not listening to God. But our pride lets us say, well, I'm not as bad off as Joe Schmo. Or you know what, I'll do it when I have more time. I'll do it when the kids are better. Or you know what, I have some friends, but you know what, I just need some people that will encourage me right now, which that's good. You need people to encourage you, but you also need people that you can be like, man, I'm not doing so hot, man. Like I'm struggling as a dad. I'm struggling as a husband. And hear me out. Like I know this is serious stuff and it sounds messy and it is. It is. It's hard to show people our scars, but that's exactly what Jesus did to Thomas. He showed him his scars and said, man, this is for you. I did this for you. And so when we bring that, if God is a God who restores, then that means in essence, things are broken, right? God can't be the God who restores unless we admit, hey, I got some broken stuff. God, I need you to kind of help me out here. And people that can pray with me, encourage me. And not just things. And I say this like with all jest, I don't mean to be rude about this, but like, you know how there's like appropriate sins? Some of us talk about like, well, I really need prayer. I only prayed 4 times this week, you know? It's like, awesome, that's great. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to pray every day. Don't hear me out, okay? Or like, yeah, I read my Bible. I only got through half the Bible this year, you know? It's like, great, I want you to read the Bible. But like, how are you really doing? Like, if I sat with you, how are you really doing? Like, what's really going on in your life? What are the things you're wrestling with, doubting with? You have fears about, insecurities about? Not just checklist things. So what do we look for in people? What does this look like? Qualities to look for in someone. Do they practice appropriate vulnerability themselves? And I say appropriate because are they the type of people that like, you're like, how are you doing? And like immediately tears come and you know, it's like, you're like, I was just getting coffee. This is throwing me off. You know what I mean? Or like they're just sharing to the whole group at the same time. You're like, ooh, maybe, okay, this is a little awkward. You know, like, do they have an appropriate level of vulnerability? Do they, and it leads into this next one. Are they safe and trustworthy? Are they the type of people, if you saw it in Matthew, it says, if you see sin in someone's life, go just talk about them. Just go between you and them. You need to make sure it's a person that's not just going to be like, go and talk to five people about it. Like, they're like, I need some counsel about this. Can you help me decide and make a decision? It's like, no, you're just kind of gossiping. You're just talking to a bunch of people. That's not, just go have a hard conversation with that person if you have issue with them. Go talk to them. Thirdly, do they know God's word? Do they know this Bible? Because I can give you all the great advice in the world, but if it doesn't line up with God's word, it's just words. And you need people in your life who can say, well, let's see what God says about this. What does his word say? In light of who Jesus is and what he's done, what does that mean for you in your life? People who ask you those types of questions. Fourth, can they point out your blind spots? Are they aware of theirs? And I know a bunch of our students right now, they're in like driver's ed, taking those driver tests right now, right? You know, you're like, I know what a blind spot is. I got that one right on the test, you know? Hopefully you were actually looking behind you and seeing that, threat, right? And sometimes it's called a blind spot for a reason. We can't see them. But you need people in your life who they can gently, like it says, gently restoring you. Not just they want to tear you down, but they actually want to restore you. They want to see you do better. And I've had people in my life do this at times. They say, hey, Logan, I noticed something about you. This is someone I was walking with for a long time. And they said, hey, Logan, I noticed something the other day. Like when we were hanging out, like you kind of like made a joke at Kayla's expense to kind of get a laugh out of everybody. And like, why'd you do that? And he didn't mean it in a bad way or a rude way, but like I was unaware that I had done that. And I was like, man, you know what? Like, I don't know, but maybe that's some insecurity. Like, I don't know how to handle myself in a public situation. So I just made a joke at Kayla's expense, and that's not fair to her. And that's not who I want to be as a husband or as a father. And I don't want to do that. And you need people who would gently just say, hey, man, I just see that check engine light. Maybe you're just not aware of it, but like, what's that right there? And lastly, this, do they want you to love Jesus more? Is that their goal? Or do they just enjoy telling people to do? Those aren't the type of people I'm talking about. These inner circle people, do they love Logan? They're big Logan fans and they wanna see me thrive. They wanna see me be a better follower of Jesus. They wanna see me become more in Christ's image. One of those people for me was one of my mentors in seminary. You know, they have this like mandatory mentor thing. It's like a class, which I was like, okay, whatever. You know, I wasn't sure about this. But you get assigned a professor, and I got assigned this professor, and I love it because she was like this tall. Her name was Laura. And she was like this tall. And man, she was a spitfire. And I needed that in my life. And when I found out she was from West Virginia, and I was like, we're best buds. This is awesome, you know? And she was like, Logan, I have an accent too, but I don't use it unless I'm around you. I'm like, fantastic. You know what I mean? So it was like back with like a little West Virginia mom in my life. And I remember one time I sat in her office and she said, hey, Logan, make sure you don't hurt anybody as a pastor. And I was like, yeah, of course, I'm not going to do that. And she goes, yeah, Logan, I've had a lot of people who sat here and they don't deal with their stuff in their life. And they've done horrible things and they've never thought they'd be there. And she says, so Logan, in this space, what I'm going to do, I want you to love Jesus more when you leave here than when you entered. And so I care about the people that you're going to get in front of and your wife and your kids. And I care more about you than like trying to be just like, you know, she was so blunt with me. And man, praise God for that. What a gift. But it came out of her leading me through this herself and show me how she had led this out in her marriage and her walk. It wasn't her just telling me what to do. She taught me how to actually walk this path of vulnerability and actually accept accountability and challenge. It was good, and it's God-given. So here's your homework today. It's really simple. And I know this is heavy stuff. I know you're like, man, this is like not as chipper as I want it to be. Woo, you know? But like the reality is like this is what God's calling us into. And I just got to say it. There's no easy way to say this, but could you this week be brutally honest with yourself and one inner circle person this week? And I say brutally honest because I want us to stop playing church. Like I want us to stop coming here. Like I call it the church answer. I'm like, how are you doing? God's good, good all the time. God's good. You know, I'm like, I know God's good. Like his goodness is not dependent on how good you are doing. You know that? Like those can be separate things. Like God is good. And also you might have some work to do. And there might be some lights on, like on their check engine light, and he wants to do those, and he might want to point those things out. And you know what? So can I just be brutally honest with myself? Stop actually being like, well, I'm actually okay. That's pride. We got to be really honest with him. Where am I really at? How am I really doing? What are those things I'm wrestling with? What are those things I've never told anybody about? And to be honest with myself, saying, you know what? I'm going to actually do some work this week, and I want to see where God wants to lead. And then you can't, like, this is how accountability works. You can't give what you don't possess. Like, you can't give these things to someone else if you're not willing to walk that road yourself, right? So it has to start in you first. And then with somebody else, who is that one person that you can be honest with? By God's grace, you'll have a couple people in your life that you can be really honest with, and they're not worried about, like, kind of how people might perceive you or worried about your status. They just care about you, like Laura was for me, and she still is, and she was one of my references for this job. When they wanted to hire me, I was like, call Laura, she'll tell you who I am, right? Who's that type of person for you? I pray that you'll find that person. And some of you guys, maybe you're here still and you're like, man, I haven't found those people. Your prayer point is, I pray that maybe there'll be someone, maybe God has already put in your life that maybe you could just start to begin to be vulnerable with. They're safe people. It's important work. It's heavy work. But friends, that's what God wants us for. And it's going to change us if we allow it. Would you pray with me? Yeah, Lord, this is heavy and messy and at times awkward. And God, I just see throughout scripture that, Lord, this matters. And Lord, I'm reminded of the passage where you asked the lame man, did he want to be well? And Lord, you obviously knew that he wanted to be well. He'd been laying there crippled for a long time. But Lord, you wanted to hear from him of, like, you know what? Yes, I do want to be well. I this is where I'm at. I need healing. And Lord, you healed that man. And Lord, I pray online in this room, there are people in this room that you are just gently asking them right now, of like, hey, that thing that you've been dealing with for a long time, that those fears, those insecurities, you don't have to hide. And do you want that to be made well? And Lord, I know that in our lives, what happens is that you use people to walk alongside us. You've always been your plan to use people. And I don't know why you do it, but you do. You want people to walk alongside each other and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And God, I pray that that would happen. What would happen in our lives, Lord? If that's what happened, what if our church took that serious, where we said, you know what? We were people who did that inner work first, that actually took our sin serious. Like, what would happen? Like, we would change, and then our city would change, and our nation would change, and our country, like, everything would change if we all started taking our sin seriously, and we allowed the Holy Spirit to illuminate those areas of life. So God, I pray that this morning, that as we sit here, that we would be convicted of our sin, that we'd realize the things that we're hiding, we can't hide it from you. And Lord, that you would just call us into a deeper walk with you, that we would throw off those things that are holding us back, and we would trust you and know that you've put people in our lives to champion us on, Lord. Would you bring those people in our life? Would we ask for accountability? Would we seek it like it's a treasure, God? Because it is. God, you are so good to us, and we are so grateful to be your children. In Jesus' name, amen.